Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Dick Ray. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
Chapter 1 of the book of Acts, verse 1, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, says, As I wrote in my former book, all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. And I find great encouragement of that, because I read that and I go, oh, all of this we read in here, Jesus was just beginning. Jesus was just beginning. He's still active today. He's still ministering today. There is a segment of Christianity that sometimes has this belief that God did great things in the past, God will do great things in the future, but right now, he's really not up to much. And as we read the scriptures, we really see that's really contrary to that belief. Jesus is still ministering today. Matter of fact, first service, we had several people healed of neck pain. There was a couple other things with ministry that was going on. Last week, we had someone healed of shoulder pain in receiving some prayer. God's still ministering today. There was some healing that was happening in people's hearts throughout the service this morning, first service. And I look at that and I go, Jesus, you're still ministering today. You're still doing things. And he does it because we are now his body here on this earth. We are to represent and we present him. And there's a one part, though, I think is really key for us to move forward in this understanding to minister in the power and the spirit, power and presence of the Holy Spirit. One thing that's crucial for us to do this is to be able to hear the voice of God to lead us to do things. To actually hear the voice of God to lead us to do things. That when we read scriptures about, and Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth, he says that the Spirit of God knows all things. It says the Spirit of God, this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, says the Spirit of God knows all things, even the deep things of God. And then the verse after that says this, and he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That the Spirit of God actually speaks to us and reveals things to us. John chapter 10 is a teaching that Jesus with his followers, and I want to read a few verses together with you. Verse 1, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 14, I want to, for the sake of time. Verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I will bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. When Jesus is doing that teaching, he's outlining this truth to those people in present day Galilee at that time. He's saying, you know what? I am the good shepherd, and those who are my sheep, they'll hear my voice and they will follow me. And it says that there were others there, they didn't understand what he was saying. He's saying, because you're not of me. You're not a follower of me. You can't hear me. You don't understand me. Some followed Jesus, some didn't. Now, it wasn't did they just audibly hear his voice. They could all hear his voice physically. But there was some that when he spoke, as Peter said, your words are life. Your words are alive. There were some, when they heard his voice, it actually cut into them. And they ended up becoming followers of Jesus. Others with hardened hearts. We don't understand. We don't understand what you're talking about. We don't even know who you are. He says, they couldn't really hear me. But then later on in verse 14, when Jesus says, but there are other sheep who are not part of this pen, he was referring to you and I. He's saying there's going to come a day when there will be throughout all of history, others will hear my voice and they will become followers of me. And when Jesus speaks this out, he says that the sheep will hear my voice. It does mean salvation. It does mean that along our life journey, we're going along our way, and all of a sudden maybe someone comes up and shares some truth about Jesus, shares the good news of salvation with us, and something in our heart awakens, and we go, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. But I believe it goes much farther than that. I don't believe it's something where Jesus says, oh, you hear my voice once, you get a tug in your heart once, become a follower of mine, and then I'm silent for the rest of your earthly life. Jesus, when he talked about the Holy Spirit, he says, the Spirit of God will reveal all truth. He says he will guide you. He will speak things from the Father to you. He is one who is going to guide and teach throughout our lives. Well, how can God guide us? How can God teach us? How can God lead us if we can't hear his voice? Now, we have the Bible, and the Bible is a guide. There are truths in here that are to lead our lives. But I believe it goes further than just the Bible. The Spirit of God given to us that we can actually be led by God, that we can actually be taught by God, that he can direct us in places of our lives. To me, it would be like if I just said, Elijah, I lost something in the parking lot. Please go find it. And I just leave him at that. I hope you do well. But I say, Chris, what I lost was an iPhone with a blue case in it. And it's in the farther corner, and it's next to the red truck. Who's going to find it quicker? Right. Yeah. Nice try, Elijah. Why? He has some more instruction. He had some more guidance along the way. Why would God say, hey, I've just saved you. You know, I'm glad you're following me, but now you're basically on your own. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. I've come to realize in my Christian walk that God has a lot to say. God has a lot to say. He has a lot to say to me about my life. He has a lot to guide me, and he has a lot of things to teach me along the way. And there is a part of our Christian experience that I think is never gets the opportunity to reach its fullness if we don't have the ability to really hear God's guiding voice. If I tell people that I talk to God, they think I'm spiritual. If I tell people God talks to me, they think I'm crazy. There is this part of the conversation that is really difficult for the world to understand and accept. It's very difficult for them to understand that this relationship we have with the Creator really is a two-way relationship. You've heard me say this before. Any relationship where one party does all the talking really isn't a relationship at all. And sometimes we come to God with all of our prayers and all our prayer lists, and we offer them to God, and then we turn and walk away, and he's going, I had something I wanted to say back. I had something I wanted to share. I had something I wanted to add to that. And we end up actually losing out on part of it. There is a spiritual realm. There is a spiritual dimension. The Spirit of God living within us to guide us, to teach us, that God, I really believe, wants us to tap into. I love technology. I'm having more and more fun with technology. There is I got an email the other day from Vineyard. Is it vineyardsongs.com? Is that it, Josh? Vineyardsongs.com. You can get on it yourself. It has all these vineyard songs on it, and you can get the chord charts, and you can listen to them. And I got it, and there was a song, As Children, and I kind of pulled it up, and I was just playing it, and it was really kind of... That's not me singing. And I don't know about you, but I'm amazed that there is a device. That there is a technology out there, a device that is somehow picking up something in the airways, bringing it to this little device. I don't know if there's, I don't think there are words that are floating around, but there's something. Justin, you're the smart guy, okay? How does this stuff work, you know? Yeah, are there words floating around and dots and dashes? I mean, I don't know what's happening, but it comes to this. This has a capability of being receptive to that. It receives it and it puts it into a context, and I can just listen to it anytime I want, you know, lifetime. And it's like, that is so amazing. I mean, television. I mean, stop and think. You turn on a television. It is picking up TV waves that are flowing all over the place. I mean, they're going through buildings. These TV waves going through buildings, radio waves, internet waves, whatever they are, you know, just flowing all through the place. There's this unseen realm that we have devices that can tap into. How far a stretch is it to say that there is this unseen realm of the Spirit that the Lord wants us to tap into? That if mankind can create a device that can pick up sound waves, radio waves, TV waves, how much more can God create a being that can tap into the Spirit realm and actually hear Him? Often, when you talk about this, people have a question. They say, well, what does God's voice sound like? Well, for me, it sounds like Maida, my wife. You shouldn't be doing that right now. Okay. Is that Maida or is that you, Lord? I get the two confused at times. No. What does the voice sound like? Can I tell you there's a full spectrum there on how God speaks to us, how we're to hear His voice, because we're unique beings. There are some people, I know a handful of people who have heard the audible voice of God. Maybe once, maybe twice in their life. It's not it's not something they experience all the time. But they, and trustworthy people have said they've had an encounter. They heard the audible voice of God speak to them, and they were terrified. But God had to minister to them in a way that worked. That's one end of the spectrum. And I think there's a full spectrum of God speaking to people. Some people get images in their minds. Some people see pictures. Some people just have maybe words, you know, in their head. They can't get them out of their head. There might be scripture verses. Some people go to the extreme of just, you kind of get a nudge. I don't know. I feel like I'm supposed to do this or say this, and it's that full spectrum that's out there. And it's crucial for us to understand God has a lot to say. He wants to speak to us, and we need to start paying attention to these things. Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, we did the scripture last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about spiritual gifts. Part of the spiritual gifts is how God speaks to us. And Paul opens up the chapter with this. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant about this stuff. He said, I want you to know about this. Why? It's crucial to our Christian walk. We hear this, we evangelical Christians, quite a bit. Hey, I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship. Have you heard that before? Have you said it before, right? I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship. I always say, oh, good. So how's the relationship? Are you relating? Is it a two-way conversation? Is the Spirit of God speaking to you, guiding you, leading you? Somewhere along that spectrum, where, it can be the nudge, it can be just the stirring, it can be maybe images that actually directs you into a place. And when it comes to the Word of God, often the voice of God, I should say, there's three voices that we hear. Some of you hear more, but usually there's three voices that are normally heard. There's our voice, you know, just our mind. A thought comes. You ever have this? A thought comes in and like, oh yeah, that's mine, right? You know, who's gonna win? Who's gonna win soccer, right? You know, what's going on with this? Oh, that's my thought. Then there's the realm. Is it God's voice? Is God planting a thought? Is God trying to steer us in a direction? And then lastly, we have an enemy. We have an adversary that Jesus said he's a liar. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. How could he tell us a lie if we're not discerning his voice? See, if I never talk to you, I can't tell you a lie. But if I talk to you, I could tell you a lie. The enemy, Jesus said the adversary, He says he's a liar. Well, how does he lie? Sometimes there's a thought that comes. So how do we discern those voices along the way? I'll throw out a few pointers. One, and that's the key one, is when we get a thought, when we're trying to make a decision about heading in a direction or to do something, if a thought comes into our mind, the first question is, does it match up with God's word? Does it match up with God's word, with his character, with who he is? I had one guy once who this was years ago. He's not part of the church. So anyway, ran into this guy and he said he was a Christian. And there was a woman he was having a relationship with. And he said, well, God told me that if we have sex, it would be like consummating a marriage. So we'd be married spiritually. And God told him it was okay. And I said, you need to check the voices you're listening to, because that doesn't match up in here at all. Doesn't match up in here at all. Sometimes we're going to go through and say, God, how does this fit with your will, your character, your word, your principles? The second thing I find is, does it make you fearful? Sometimes when we get an impression about doing something, and what do I do? I head in this direction, that direction. Sometimes I'm feeling fearful in heading this direction. I would question if it's God. Because God, many times, I should say every time when he speaks, it's to build us up and actually to build our faith, not to bring about fear. Years ago, I had a woman who came to me and said, I had a nightmare last night. Her husband was deployed. He was in the military. He was deployed in the Middle East. And she said, I had a dream that he, on coming home, his plane crashed and he died. And she was literally shaking and sobbing when she's telling me this. And I said, are you scared? She goes, I am so afraid. And I said, then it's not from God. It's not from God. Why would God torment you with that? If your husband was going to die in a plane crash, why would God give you this nightmare dream and just to torment you and go there? I said, now, if your husband was to die in a plane crash and God wanted you to know about it, when he told you, you would grieve, you would be sad, but his grace would be there with you, because his grace is sufficient for everything. I'm going to do this. I know this sounds strange. But 6 weeks before my dad passed away, I was holding Josh in my lap. He was an infant. Holding Josh in my lap. I'm bouncing him. I was bouncing him in my lap. He was only 8 months. I was bouncing him in my lap. I was holding him, and my dad was teasing him. And he says, you know, he'd take his fist, and he'd kind of hit him. He said, I'm going to get you on the kisser. You know, he's doing all these little things, playing with him. And he says, you better behave. And he kept saying that. And then all of a sudden, I heard literally, he says, you better behave. And then his lips stopped. And I heard, because I'm only going to be around for another 6 weeks. And I heard it. And his lips weren't moving. Time to leave, when it was time to leave later, I got in the car with Maida, and I said, Maida, I just heard this. And I told her the whole thing. I go, what do I do? Do I call my family? Could I call my siblings? I got to tell you what I heard, right? They already think I'm crazy. Now I'm going to tell them that, you know, I heard this. But can I tell you, it was the strangest thing? There was this deep sense of loss right here. Because I love my dad. But I felt it was a grace gift from the Lord. He's saying, no, I am preparing you for these last 6 weeks. I had a wonderful last 6 weeks. My dad died 6 weeks later. 6 weeks later. Sometimes when the Lord speaks, if it creates, and see, every time God speaks, it's always hunky-dory, isn't this great? Sometimes he tells us truths that are hard. Sometimes turning and following God's ways always, you know, bears great fruit in our lives. But when he first speaks it to us, it can cause a lot of turmoil because it's hard following God's ways. And sometimes as he reveals truth to us, sometimes it's not always the things that we want. And I remember hearing that, and it was like, but I had a grace, and I knew that it was going to happen. And it ended up, it did happen. Does it build faith in you? Does it make you fearful? Is it truth? Is it truth or not? You know, that's a test. Let's test it. The Bible says test things. Let's test it. God, I just felt you told me that I'm supposed to go pray for that person over there. And I'm supposed to say this to him. God, is that you? He goes, I don't know. Go find out. Go test it out. Check it out. See, what I love about church is a great place to grow in these giftings of the Holy Spirit because we have grace for one another. We love one another. We're family. We can go up and say, hey, you know what, Chris, last night I was praying and I felt God just told me something and can I share it with you? Yeah, see, Chris would say yes. He says, give me your truck. Yeah, it's all mine now. You know, test it out. Sometimes God steers us to do something. God, I'm not sure if it's you. I'm going to test it out. If it follows his word, it doesn't create any fear in us. It's a chance to test it out. And again, the beauty of the body of Christ is we get a chance to grow in giftings. And gifts of the Holy Spirit, we actually grow in. God says if we're faithful with a little, he'll give us more. I have found more times than not when I get a nudge or an impression and God wants me to pray for someone, I don't get the full picture. I'll get one little thing. And God says, that's all I'm going to give you. I want to see if you're going to be faithful with a little. I remember a while back there was a woman, she was a visitor. She came with some friends. It's her first time here. And I felt God wanted me to go pray for her because there were some things God wanted to do, but he didn't tell me anymore. So I go up and talk, and you could see the body language. The woman was just a little defensive, like, this is first time church. You people are weird. What is this, group karaoke? You're just talking all this stuff. And I just said, hey, can we just chat a little bit? I says, I just get this impression that God wants to bring some real relief and release in your life, like a healing. But it's in an area that you don't want to look at because it could be very painful. And I said, it's almost like this. I know this sounds strange. I said, if you ever had a massage, you know, when you get a knot in a muscle and the person doing the massage just like really digs into that muscle and that knot. And it's like it hurts so good. And that was the phrase I used. It's like it hurts so good because it releases everything. Woman looks at me and she goes, I'm a massage therapist. Guess what? I had her attention, or God had her attention. God had her attention right there. She says, I'm a massage therapist. Tell me more. So we get a chance to minister properly. I didn't know what else was going to happen afterwards. God said, go with this. Go up and talk to her. Just do these little things and see if I'm willing to do the more. And we see this throughout the Bible. This is how Jesus ministered. Jesus would hear from the Father, you'd hear from the Father, the Spirit of the Lord that resided in him. Jesus baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Luke says he was in the power of the Spirit. And through the Spirit, he would minister. There was a time he comes down into a village and there's a man there and his son needs deliverance. And the man says to Jesus, could you deliver my son? I've asked your disciples, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, what's the matter? He says, he's mute. He can't speak. And there's a spirit that throws him into the fire. And Jesus says, how long has he been like this? He talks a little bit with the guy. And then Jesus, when he's ready to deliver him, I find it real interesting. Jesus cast out a deaf and mute spirit. Nowhere in the passage was it revealed to him that the boy was deaf. It was only revealed that he was mute. And as Jesus goes to pray, one goes, oh, you know why you couldn't do it? Because it's not a mute spirit. It's a deaf mute spirit. And if he can't hear, he doesn't know how to speak. Jesus gets revelation and actually gets him set free. Why? He had that relationship. Jesus would go often alone into a quiet place. And I think while he was there, I think the Father would speak to him. Turn to Acts chapter 8. I want to look at one other scripture with you that I think really outlines this pretty well. There's a man named Philip who's a follower of Jesus. And verse 26 of chapter 8 says this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. I mean, right there, the angel of the Lord spoke to him. I don't know what that looked like. It doesn't give any more information. I don't know if Philip saw a physical angel appearing before him, but the word angel in the Greek means a messenger. It was a messenger from the Lord. Somehow that came to him. He gets the message, but he gets it with instruction. I want you to go down this road. I want you to head in this direction. So here's Philip going like, okay, God, is that you? Is that me? You know, is that the enemy? Am I really going to follow this? Philip had enough history where he's going to risk. Okay, I'll head down that road. I don't know what's going to happen there. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And get verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. So he walks over and, now what do I do? He was being obedient. The Spirit just go stand near it. Don't worry, I'll give you the rest later. If you're faithful with the little, I'll give you the lot. So he goes and stands next to it and the conversation starts up. And what's the Ethiopians, you know, he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? How can I understand this? Philip explains everything to him. The guy gets saved. He says, I got to be baptized. It says he goes down to the river. He baptizes him and he goes on his way. He goes back to Ethiopia and historians believe the Coptic church, the Coptic Christians that are in Ethiopia today come from this man here. Why? Philip was obedient to go stand next to a chariot. Who knows? God might say to us, you know what? Go stand next to that car over there. I got a message for the driver. You know what? You're in Walmart, and the Lord says, I want you to just go put your cart next to that person over there. You know that mom with the three kids? I want you to give a word of encouragement. What do I say? I'll tell you when you get there. You just go get next to her. I don't know how God does it, but sometimes the simple nudges that lead to the greater things. I love going into restaurants. I love to go into restaurants. Yeah, I put a period at the end of that statement right there. Exclamation point. I love going to restaurants. But I love going, asking God, God, do you have a word for the waitress or the waiter? For some reason, I just enjoy it so much. Because I don't know if it's because they keep coming back to the table. And as they come back, I'm trying to get a little more information. I'll ask God, do you have something to say for him? Can I tell you, more times than not, I'll get an opportunity to say, hey, I know this sounds kind of strange, but sometimes I'm a Christian. Sometimes I feel that God tells me things to share with someone. Could I share something with you? And more times than not, they go, sure. And I'll share something. And Luz thought, ah. And then majority of the time, it ends up, can we go back to the corner where there's, you know, a booth there? And we'll end up praying for a while. Why? God says, be faithful with a little, and I'll give you the more. It's not a clear, right over there, I want you to go to Ruby Tuesday tonight, 7:15. There'll be a blonde with glasses who comes in. Say this to her. He doesn't say that. But if I ask, I find I hear. And I'm finding that what happens along the way is there is this dynamic that God sometimes uses those little things if we're in tune with the little things. If we're willing to listen. And sometimes the smallest things opens up somebody for the more that will flow. And sometimes he'll give a picture, sometimes he'll give a scripture. And as I go through and I hear the stories of what happens in the church with this happening with you folks, it's like, you know, if the book of Acts was still being written, some of these things would be in here. Because it's the continuing ministry of Jesus. Barriers to hearing. Sometimes people say, yeah, but I really don't hear from God. I don't know if I have any, you know, I know the Bible speaks about everyone getting spiritual gifts, but I don't think I get any spiritual gifts. Can I tell you, everybody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given spiritual gifts. The question isn't, do I have a spiritual gift or not? The question is, which one do I have and how do I activate it? How do I actually make it function? How do I get in tune with the spirit realm where I can actually hear the guiding and leading of the Lord? And sometimes there are barriers that really prevent people from hearing. One of them is, probably a major one, is the issue of sin. Sometimes it's like, oh, God, would you really speak to me and use me to minister? And God says, well, could you just be obedient on these things I've already spoken to you first? You know, let's take care of these things first. Now, this doesn't mean God only uses perfect people. I am a living testimony to that, okay? God does not only use perfect people. But if we stand before God and we kind of like, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do, but now I really want you to bless me, it's not going to happen. Obedience is key. The other part with that sin is sometimes we don't ask because we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear God speak to us. Because sometimes he puts his finger on things and says, you know that television program you've been watching? You really shouldn't be doing that. You know you've been surfing on the internet? That's not a place I want you to go. You know those thoughts you've been having about your family member and your coworkers? That's downright sinful. I don't want you to do that. You know the way you've been speaking to these people in your life? I don't want you to do that. Sometimes, God, I don't want to hear from you because you're going to tell me things I don't want to hear. So we kind of put the little mufflers on. Sometimes there's a barrier because, again, we haven't been faithful with the little. God says, I already given you enough little things and you've said no. Start being faithful with the little, the more will happen. I think one big key in culture today is the reason we don't hear from the Lord is because there's too many other voices that are too loud. You ever call somebody and you hear this loud party in the background? Loud, you know, things, or I shouldn't say party, it could be any place. They're at a construction site, they're at a bowling alley, whatever. Loud things going on, and they're going, wait a minute, I just can't hear you. Let me go to a quiet place. Well, you know, for us, our lives are busy. There's so much noise out there, so many voices. Jesus himself had to leave the crowd so he could hear. Sometimes we have to go away. God, I want to hear. I want to hear from you. And sometimes I think the reason we don't hear is because we never ask. We're not available. It's just not on our radar. God, would you even speak to me? God, would you guide me? Would you give me some wisdom on something? Would you lead me in a place? When Paul writes to the church and he talks about the spiritual gifts, the first two he mentions is one is word of knowledge, and the second is word of wisdom. A word of knowledge is something is revealed to us by God that we wouldn't normally know. How many of you have ever had someone come up and pray for you before or share something with you, and it was something like, how do you know that? They were just speaking things that were definitely going on in your lives. How many of you experienced that? Okay, it happens throughout the church. That's a word of knowledge. The reason I think God sometimes speaks to another person to speak to us is because so often we doubt that we can even hear. We doubt that we can even hear. So God will have a person come up and say, hey, I don't know, I don't know you very well. My name's Dick, and I got an impression, and you share it, and you go, oh my goodness, God just got my attention. And it's not that the person is really special. God can use anybody. It's God is special. He wants to minister to us. Words of knowledge, sometimes word of wisdom. You know, let me ask you this. You don't have to reveal it. But how many of you are facing a decision right now? Like, do I do this or do I do that? I don't know where my life's going to go. You've got some decisions to make. How many of you have those? Okay. Can I tell you, God wants to get in on the conversation. God wants to get in on the conversation. A word of wisdom is when God's wisdom comes through and all of a sudden, oh, this is the path. This is the way I should go. Sometimes through his word. Sometimes he'll speak it to us personally if we ask. Sometimes somebody else will come up and speak it to us and we go, yeah, that makes sense. That hits home. What God is looking for is people who are willing to be used by him. And I think this whole series we're going on about ministering in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is key if we can hear the Lord, if we know his voice. If we're willing to train our ear to hear him day in, day out, willing to hear his word to not only for our own lives, but for others around us. And as we grow into that, this whole concept of seeing God's kingdom move becomes incredibly exciting. So with that, can we stand? I want to take some time, and we're going to do a few more of these. I know it's getting a little late. I want to pray for one thing. I want to pray for an impartation, and then we're going to minister for a little bit for those of you who want to stick around. How many of you would like to hear the voice of God more and better? Let's just ask him for it. Lord, we just thank you for your gift of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you even said this to us and to your disciples. You said, it is better for us that you leave. I can't imagine spending 3 years with you and then you saying, hey, you know what? I got a better plan. I'm going to leave you guys. But you said it's better that you leave because that's the only way the Spirit of the living God would dwell within us. And we thank you for that. And Lord, your word also says that we lack no spiritual gifts, that Jesus, that you have given gifts to us through your Spirit. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would attune our ears, that we would be receptive to what your Spirit is saying. That, Lord, the gifts of words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, Lord, these things would start flowing to us and through us. We would be a people who would hear your voice. We would be the sheep who know your voice. We would not be ones who would go through this life's journey saying, you know what, God's never really spoke to me. God's never really directed me. So, Lord, would you sharpen our ears? We ask, Lord, we ask now, would you give us the gifts and may we hear your voice? Thank you, Lord. Before we minister, I want to give one general homework for every one of us. Can we spend this week, wherever we go, asking God, God, do you have something you want me to say to that person? Wherever we are, ask God, God, is there something you want me to say to that person? Be it Walmart, restaurant, workplace, your family, is there something you want me to say? And then we'd risk running with a little bit. Let's tune our ears. I want to do just a couple of ministry things that we felt the Lord just wanted to minister to this morning. And one deals with, actually, I told about necks being healed this first service. There was the impression that there were some people, very tight muscles in the necks. It almost had less to do with the spine than it did with the muscles. But the muscles of the neck were just very, very sore to move and really felt God wanted to do a healing with that. The second one was actually dealing with needing like a support. Sometimes people need a support under their foot. Maybe in one of the shoes there's a lift or something, some form of support. And Sean just felt this morning that God really wanted to heal anyone who had that going on. So going to ask for those two things for healing. If any of you, actually the Lord just highlighted a third one, you had a broken bone. Someone had a broken bone a while back and the broken bone has healed, but it still gives you pain. And I really felt that God, Lord wanted to really do some healing for that too. So if any of those fit for you, you can come down right away for some prayer. We'll have some people who minister to you. And I got just two more images. One was a bow tie, not a bow tie you wear. I'm sorry. It was a big bow. And I saw a big pair of scissors, I saw this morning, cutting the bow. And the word was, the bow is the tie that binds. And I really felt it was dealing with actually marriage. And the scissors cutting through, but it didn't cut all the way through. It was just starting. And this is the impression I got, that there's an attack on a marriage, that it may be something that is actually in the process. But the Lord said, it's not a done deal yet. And I felt what he wanted to do is to speak courage and truth into the marriage and for us to pray that. And it was actually, he was going to reverse this thing. And then here's the last one. The last one was an image of a little boy that was kind of walking away. He wasn't running. Little, I'm going to say around 10 years old, walking. And walking away from a mother. And there was a mother's heart who was fearing she was going to lose her son. And the sense was lose her son to the world. You know, like the world's going to like steer. I've been raising him as a Christian and he's being steered by the world or tugged by the world. There was a fear the child was going to be lost. But the Lord said, my word never returns void. You've spoken my word over him. Word will never return void. And we're supposed to strengthen you. So any of those things, would you come up right now? We're going to pray for you. We get some people with the ministry team. If you want to come up also to lay hands and pray. Let's do this now.